Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, welcome back. We got a lot of ground to cover to the 9 o'clock hour. I will say this. It's been a very angry first 3 hours. And the focus point of the anger, number one has been Carson Wentz. Number two has been Doug Peterson. And number three has been Howie Roseman. Let us talk to an expert to really understand what's happening with our football team. The great Ross Tucker's with us. Hi, Ross.
Hello, Angelo.
All right, Ross, what's the number one problem with the 3-6-1 Philadelphia Eagles?
The performance of the offense, and in particular, the quarterback position.
Wow, interesting. What are you seeing from Wentz, and does this Wentz in any way resemble the one from 4 years ago or 3 years ago when he was burning it up?
Not really, Angelo. He looks so uncomfortable. I watch as many of the games as I can, right? So you watch like last night's game with Patrick Mahomes and Derek Carr, Raiders, Chiefs. And the thing that you think about Carson is he never really looks comfortable, number one. And everything the Eagles do on offense looks hard. I mean, none of it's ever easy, Angelo. You never feel like they're in a groove. You never feel like it's easy, although they did run the ball pretty well. That first drive, they did some really good things until Miles Sanders fumbled. But that's the biggest takeaway for me, is that Wentz doesn't look comfortable. It's almost like at times he doesn't want to throw a pick. He holds on to the ball. He won't get rid of it. The offensive tackles in particular did not play well, which hurt him. But on several of those, they're getting bull rushed. He should be able to throw the ball before he gets sacked. He's hesitant to pull the trigger. I got to say, at this point, Angelo, it just seems like he's in his own head. I don't know what it is, but this is as uncomfortable as he's looked. And it's his fifth year, and it's his fifth year with Doug Peterson.
Well, I want to focus on two plays that I think illustrate what you're talking about. The first one was the interception. Prior to throwing that balloon ball that got picked off for a touchdown, he had Rager wide open on a quick throw for a first down. All right, could you explain to me how he can't see that? How is that possible with a man who's a five-year pro in the NFL?
Well, in fairness, Angelo, on that one, I have no idea what Rager was doing. I mean, Rager was open. But whatever Jalen Rager did on that play, that was not a route that professional wide receivers run. I mean, watch it again. I don't know what he was doing, and I kind of feel like Wentz wasn't sure what he was doing either. That's the biggest thing that I take away, Angelo, is Wentz doesn't trust the guys he's throwing the ball to.
Okay,
you can tell he's not sure. He's I don't know, should I throw it? Should I throw it? I don't know. Like, that is a bad place to be, man. I mean, that is a bad place to be.
Let me get to the second one, because you're right. There could be other contingencies there. I don't think there are. And the sack, that was a safety. Ross, before the ball is snapped, everybody understands. The linemen know you can't hold. The quarterback knows you can't get sacked because that's points, right? How does something like that happen?
You know, I have no idea at this point, Angel. I'll tell you this much, man. They're a tough watch. You know, I mean, you and I, we've been doing this.
Oh,
we've been doing this for a while.
Yeah.
You know, this is my occupation. I do the Eagles preseason games. I do the pregame here for WIP. This is the first time where I can really remember thinking, wow, this almost feels like work. I mean, this is a tough, they are a very tough watch, especially when you compare them to the other teams you see around the NFL. And it's almost hard to watch Wentz at this point. And by the way, I think about half of it's on Wentz and half of it's probably on the coaching staff. But when you watch him, he just kind of looks like he's shell-shocked. He just looks like he has very little confidence in what he's trying to do out there right now.
All right, let me I agree with you on that, and I want to go to the second half of that and the coaching staff, specifically Doug Peterson. When over two games against bad third down defenses, you're 2-for-21 in third down conversions. Ross, how does that happen, and who do you blame?
Well, I'll tell you how it happens. Number one, you have wide receivers that don't really get open on their own. Number two, you don't do a very good job of scheming them to get open. I thought it was interesting, Greg Cosell from NFL Films, NFL Matchup. I hadn't thought of this, Angelo, but he told me on the Ross Tucker podcast on Friday that the Eagles don't really have play designs, in his opinion, that get the receivers open. It's primarily one-on-one isolation routes. And if you watch, you know, Folgum's never open. I mean, I still like Folgum, but when he does catch the ball, the guy's all over. I mean, Folgum doesn't actually get open. He just is a big body and has good hands. They don't get open, and it doesn't seem like the Eagles run some of the natural rub routes, the bunch sets, some of the things that naturally get guys open, even if they're not able to get open themselves. So you have the receivers can't really get open. Wentz doesn't trust him. Wentz lacks confidence, isn't comfortable, doesn't know where he wants to go with the football. And the line is okay, but they're not good enough to hold up if Wentz is going to pat the ball and wait 5 seconds. It's what they would call a comedy of errors.
Yeah, that was a beautiful description of that. Let's talk about the line because you're a lineman. Is the gas tank empty for Jason Peters? And would it not put us all out of our misery if they just cut him?
Well, they're not going to do that, and we all know they're not going to do that. And I don't think they should do that. Now, I personally believe that for multiple reasons that they should start Mailata at left tackle.
Right.
Because I think Mailata is every bit as good, if not better, and let's find out what Mailata is for 2021. I think the Eagles should be probably making more of those kind of decisions. I don't think they should cut Peters because I still think if Mailata or Lane Johnson or somebody got hurt, I'd rather have Peters go in than the other young kids that they have there. But that was a really bad game. I mean, look, they didn't have Myles Garrett. He might be the defensive player of the year in the league. He leads the NFL in sacks. He's out, and you give up 3 sacks to Olivier Vernon and 2 sacks to Adrian Claiborne. Now, we already documented, Angelo, some of it is Wentz holding on to the ball. There's no question. But it still wasn't good enough, especially from Peters. But, you know, Lane Johnson had his play as well. But especially Peters, very, very disappointing performance.
All right, hold on. I want to be clear about what I just heard. Is Ross Tucker suggesting that if the Browns had Myles Garrett and Odell Beckham Jr., it could have been even uglier than it was yesterday?
Well, I mean, he's a lot better than Olivier Vernon and Adrian Claiborne are. That's, you know, I'll tell you this much, Angel. That's what's so frustrating. I am so glad I didn't tweet this. You know, after the Eagles got the 3-and-out, and then they're running the ball down the Browns' throat.
Yeah.
I was just about to tweet, Eagles came to play today.
Yeah.
Eagles are winning this football game. I am glad that I used my better judgment there. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that's so frustrating is the defense actually played pretty well. They stopped the run. They came to play. You know, if Sanders doesn't fumble on that first drive, if Wentz doesn't throw that terrible, weird balloon pick six, the Eagles win the game.
Yep.
I mean, that was such an imminently winnable game that it's maddening. I mean, I'm Eagles fan, and I know because they all texted me the whole game. They are so frustrated right now. This is about as frustrated as I can remember my Eagles fans buddies being in a long, long time.
Correct. 100%. So, would you bench Carson Wentz?
I think I would start him in the next game against Seattle. I would consider it if he plays poorly again, and I probably would find a way to get Jalen Hurts a series in the first half and see what he does with it. I mean, I feel like I am as conservative as anyone when it comes to Wentz and Peterson and trying to give them the chance to work through this. You know, you ask me every week, and I now say for the first time that I really think if Wentz starts the next game struggling, that they should consider it to A, see what Hurts can do, and maybe somehow that actually helps Wentz going to the sideline for a series. I don't know, but it just feels like the mojo, the karma, whatever it is all out of whack right now. And maybe putting Hurts in for a series can just reset everything and everyone. I mean, at this point, you got to think everything else they've done during the week in practice and this play, everything else they've done hasn't really worked. So you might as well try that at some point if Wentz struggles against Seattle Monday night.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ross Tucker, have a great Thanksgiving, Ross. We'll talk to you next week.
Likewise. See you guys.
All right. Listen, there was a misnomer there, and I want to try to clear it up right now.
What?
Defense was good at times.
Yeah.
Not when I needed them. Well, Al, 7-7.
The defense. Yeah.
Fletcher Cox gives us 7 points. Good for Fletcher. Yeah. Great job. Mm-hmm. That's what I love. I wish I would get it more often, but that was nice. 7-7.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Eagles kick off, goes through the end zone, 25-yard line. The first play.
I know.
The first play, 7-7. You have already been tormented by a long drive that ended in a fumble. Then the other guys come down and they score. And now you got it tied up on your play. And here comes Jim Schwartz. And here's the first play from scrimmage after they tied it.
On first down, Mayfield into a long county fakes. He rolls. He pumps. He is going deep. And it is caught. Down of bounds goes Hodge. Way downfield. Along the sideline. Wide open. Kadarrell Hodge.
Yep. So concerned about where the football is, where they're running it. And Hodge just gets behind the secondary.
Rolled him out, did they?
Jalen Mills stinks.
Oh, my God. He had one of the worst days ever yesterday.
Awful. And don't please, at any point this week, do not do a tribute to the defense, because the next time the Eagles scored, you know what happened, Al? Chubb ran for 54 yards. Hargrave, wide open, has him in his sights, squirts right through.
They can't make a big stop.
Ah!
The crucial stop.
They don't make the big plays. They do the other stuff, but when you need them, forget it. Diana's up next. Hi, Diana.
Hi, how are you guys?
Are you unhappy this morning, Diana?
Yes. Let me tell you what happened to me.
Yeah.
After my concussion, I woke up. I thought I was watching a football game. Instead, I was watching a funeral. The Cleveland, the Eagles was in the casket. The Cleveland offense and defense was the pallbearers. They carted our ASS off the field and buried us at Eagleville Cemetery.
All right. Was that a concussion or was that a nightmare? Which was it?
It was a concussion and a nightmare.
All right, good, because Diane, at the beginning, I got worried that you had the same problem Carson Wentz has. What's going on with him, Diana? Doesn't he need to get benched?
It's not only him. I believe it's the owner, the coordinators, the one doctor, the people that's on the bench. They should be benched. Everybody should be benched except Cox and Graham.
Cox and Graham and all the other 20. We probably don't have enough players to replace them all, Diana. But I see what you're saying. It makes a lot of sense.
Yes, and then the pigeon of the day, I think, is that doctor. Who in his right mind would send somebody back out on the field with that contraction on his arm?
Well, that's Kelsey.
Short of a cast.
Yeah,
that was
interesting.
And he can't even fix his own helmet. Right. That was crazy.
All I could think, Diana, is if he had some, he had to wipe his nose. He was out of luck.
You know? Yes.
Harry's trying to keep one hand available for
that. Did you not want a microphone for him walking off the field, refusing to go in the blue tent? He looked like he was cursing up a blue streak.
He was mad. Diana, it was a delight speaking with you. Be well.
All right, you too, guys.
Thank you, cutie.
Did you see who Kelsey's replacement was and where he went to school?
No, who is this?
An undrafted center from Western Michigan University.
My God.
That's where Jonesy went.
That's why Kelsey was so mad and couldn't wait to get back on the field.
I got to be honest. I should know this stuff. I didn't even know who he was.
No one does, and you'll never know again.
That was it?
They have no depth at that position.
Kelsey seemed determined to get back in
Western
the game.
Western Michigan University?
Yeah, if you went to Western Michigan, Al, you're the
dregs. If I
would
have known that, I would have shut the TV
off. Exactly.
Keith Jones went there, and in his entire time there, he read one book.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yep, and he's in there. Are you in the Western Michigan Hall of Fame?
You mean the Harvard of the Midwest? Yes, I am.
215-592-9494. When we come back, Ava has been studying the social media that happened during the game yesterday, and she has based her hot seat solely on that. Hot seat next. WIP Sports Time. 960.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.